When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Honestly, for this team, it's one of my favorite sports memories of my life. You talk about fighting for something. When so many people gave you negative reinforcement to not. So many people told you who you were. And you had this opportunity today, and as a team, we got to dictate who the fuck we are. 9.
Yeah. Most fun I'm having in my career, man.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Yeah. 2'8", 191 total yards. JB brought that 7 tackle sack TFL. Where's 4 at? That closer. Yeah. Jay Sanders, 5 for 5, 2 for 2 extra points. Offensive line, 0 sacks. Man, I'm so proud. That's what. Oh, we do?
One more. Mike McDaniel.
This is why you fight through, okay? On the front end, it seems miserable. This moment, we all know we had to take this moment.
Mike. Thank you.
I told y'all before, bro, you gotta keep believing.
Yep.
You gotta keep believing.
Yep.
So we gonna approach this week. We gonna approach this week like we know it's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's gonna happen, man.
Yep.
One day at a time, bro. Love y'all boys. Family on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Family.
How you doing?
Well, there you hear it from Mike McDaniel. And all the good things. They did play hard, boy. They did play hard yesterday and got a 29-17 win. We say good morning to everybody out there. And as we get set for the holiday season right around the corner here. And the Dolphins, you heard it all, man. Mike kind of broke all the good down right there. The running game was back. Devon Achane just had a phenomenal game. The blocking. Your tackles back, Isaiah Wynn in the lineup, getting a lot of playing time at the right guard position. And they look a record breaker. Jason Sanders has made 23 straight field goals, 5 more in that game. And when in doubt yesterday, Mike said, Jason, kick them. We're not doing anything crazy. We're just going to keep kicking them, and we'll get stops. Cater comes up with a big interception after a big pressure by Calais Campbell in there. You can go through just a lot of good effort. And they played hard, man. They played hard. Tua and Tyreek got to get to know each other a little bit this week. But besides that, and working around that, they played really hard. I thought the 49ers looked for a guy that I consider to be one of the better coaches in the NFL by what he's done in the recent 4 or 5 years, getting to a couple of Super Bowls, winning. They've won a ton of playoff games. And listen, they've got problems out there right now going forward with injury and how many guys, you know, they've just had too many injuries you can't count on anymore or moving on. They got to make a decision on Purdy. They had penalties that just look like that make your head coach look terrible. And again, I'm saying this, and I mean, I've always thought Kyle Shanahan, off what he's done, has been a top five coach. Maybe you disagree. And if you watch that game yesterday, they had guys hitting our guys in the back and hitting them late. And guys didn't line up on the ball. You got a rookie, this rookie Pearsall yesterday, like forgets to line up on the ball, cost him a play. This just like it, players are responsible and know better than to do this stuff, punch a guy in the back of the head on the sideline. Just like it looked like they just decided they're going to do whatever they wanted. And that's the kind of stuff that I think they end up with 11 penalties. Our guys kind of took it, and it was good. I mean, they didn't retaliate and do anything stupid back and really got after them. There were still a lot of good players playing for the 49ers yesterday, guys that have, you know, really, really good. They got a middle linebacker, Nick Bosa, who got off to a great start with a big play to start the game, and then he was kind of quiet the rest of the game. They did a lot of good things, and, you know, you're thinking, well, they're probably going to just give up on this run thing, and Mike goes, no, we're not going to give. We're going to keep it, man. We're going to keep it going, pound it, and they did. Jonnu Smith, record-breaking. Boy, I'll tell you what, you look at all of them, he comes in and never had any idea before he even got close to the end of the season with a couple of games left, he'd have the all-time record for tight ends in a season with his production. So congratulations to Jonnu Smith. What a great pickup. Great pickup that's been for that. And the sad part about this whole thing and the part that matters the most, and I know they took a beating last week for the way they played against the Texans, and they should have. I don't know if they thought they should have got a hall pass for, like, that game, but they bounced back. But now it's watch, and they did not get any help from the teams they needed. They needed Denver to take care of the Chargers. That didn't happen. So both those teams now with 9 wins on the season, both just need one in the next 2 weeks to get to 10. And the Colts, same record, but beat us head-to-head earlier in the season. They have the easiest schedule, although I don't think by any means they've got an easy road to get these last 2 wins, even though they're not against the teams they're going to be playing are very good. Anything could happen. But saying all that, they need a lot of things to happen and still need to beat the Browns and the Jets, which, you know, they can do. And try to get to 9-8, man. Try to get to 9-8. Hey, we've got
they're giving us an 8% chance, by the way.
Yeah, no,
8%.
Yeah, it's
look, it was very refreshing to see them play a little better game out there yesterday. I will agree with you. I don't know what's going on with the 49ers. Like we said last week, that thing has been like the second best franchise going for a while now.
But
right? I mean, they've been really good, really consistent. And that thing is, yeah, it looks a little messy. The Dolphins, it's nice to see them play a little better. It's kind of a little late in the season for it, but.
Oh, they're playing.
And now, I don't know, by the way, that picture with the owner yesterday, boy, he looked happy.
He
was jumping for joy.
I got news for you. I'm telling you, as soon as they lost that game to the Texans, they went, all right, we got to get to 9-8. We probably won't get to the playoffs unless a lot of things happen, but we got to just get to 9-8 and make decisions very difficult for people that might want us, because we here, the fan base and some of the media, want change. And the only way we can stop it, and I could just tell by that reaction from the owner yesterday, who wants to win games, obviously. He's going to be 85 years old. He wants to win. He wants to go to a game, and he wants to watch wins. And they'll just have to step back when this thing's all said and done and go, okay, who'd you beat? Who'd you lose to? What really needs to be fixed? How close are we really? And how many of these guys can we come back with?
I mean, they're going 9-8, Joe. I don't know if you saw those. I know you were working yesterday. Those two teams that they got left on the schedule.
They look very good.
Oh, my God, man. I mean, the Browns are obviously a mess, but like the Jets? They're the gift that keeps on giving, by the way, watching those guys play.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, it couldn't happen to a worse guy. Like Aaron Rodgers, it's just incredible to watch him go out there and struggle. And then, I don't know if you heard his stuff after the game, you know, we know who's in for next year and who's out and who's checked out. It's like, man, That thing is such a mess.
I love where he thinks all of a sudden he's become the great leader of like I'm the guy here, and I'm like, yeah.
Well, none of it's on him, right? I mean, none of the stuff's on him.
Well, the noise, more noise comes from him. You know, he's that guy that says we need to keep the noise out of the locker room. Hell, part of the noise out of the locker room is not going on national shows with his take on everything.
The Dolphins will win the next two games unless, I don't even know unless what. Like, they will win the next two games.
So the interesting part here is the really bad teams, the teams with 2 and 3 wins and 4 wins right now, how many of them check out? How many of them obviously aren't happy? They're getting a you-know-what beat out of them. How many of them think they're going to be back? How many of them are going, why does it even matter? This coaching staff's not going to be here. And all the other things that can happen. So, yeah, they got a good chance to get to 9-8. The problem is, again, that they just need a lot of help, so they understand. And that was a good effort yesterday, man. I give them a lot of credit because I know everybody was talking, well, we'll see what show. I said, they're going to play hard, man. I told you all last week, they will play hard for this coach. We can talk. You know, I can't change anybody's mind whether you like or dislike somebody, but they're going to play hard for that guy. Hey, speaking of playing hard, Mario Cristobal is going to join us coming up here in a few minutes. University of Miami, Iowa State this Saturday in Orlando, going for an 11th win at the Pop-Tarts Bowl. And on top, what is it, 3:30 start, we said? Saturday, 3:30.
11:30 pregame. Myself and Monroe are looking
forward. Oh, that's why
to
you're
that.
Doing that, yeah.
Well, I can't promote my own thing.
You and the Swiper. You and the Swiper will be there, man.
I think he's better than that, man. I don't know. I think he's past that.
What's that mean?
Just means he gets out. He has connections. He just gets out and does. Yeah, I don't think he even needs that stuff.
You don't think he needs to do what Omar does?
I think Omar needs to take a break.
So we're gonna have Mario Cristobal join us coming up. We'll talk about, boy, you talk about busy getting ready for this bowl game. Recruiting never stops, whether it's high school or the transfer portal. Guys are in, guys are out. We'll talk about all that stuff with the coach when we come back.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, Joe.
All right, Woody, and it's just about that time. University of Miami, Iowa State this Saturday in Orlando, 3:30 start. Mario Cristobal goes after his 11th win of the season. And, of course, everything else that's going on, including being a head football coach now with the craziness of in-out transfer portal recruiting. And, oh, by the way, get ready for this game. Mario Cristobal joins us. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Joe. Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. So I'm just curious, man. I know you wear a lot of hats, and I get as a head coach, and I know it's big business. So how do you divide up with everything going on of talking to players who might be staying, guys that are going, guys going to play in the bowl game, not going to play, not sure, and then you got the transfer portal, and that thing is 100 miles an hour right now. So how do you go about splitting time with staff and everything else?
Well, you just go. You know, you really just block off the entire day, and you attend to things in an organized manner. But it is nonstop. It's certainly a different job than it was 4 or 5 years ago. But it's all good. You go right at it directly, honestly, with transparency, and you find a way to get it done and do what's best for the team. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So, you know, we've been talking a lot about it. You got three guys going to the Senior Bowl, and Restrepo and Jalen Rivers and Arroyo. Cam Ward's going to be one of the top picks, if not the top pick in the draft. I guess you've had conversations, I'm guessing, with just about everybody on that team. You expect all those guys to play in this game?
Brother, we got a good roster intact. Expect a lot out of our guys, so we're ready to roll.
Yeah. Do you talk about playing time? Is it still about, you know, because we talked and Dummy here is going, well, there'll be an early start for spring. You'll get a chance to look at some more young guys. Maybe they'll get some more playing time. Or is it more of the same of the rotation that you just finished with your 12 games?
Well, you do your best to win the football game and find a way to put guys in the game that have earned playing time. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line. And certainly you want to find out if certain guys could do certain things. And some guys, you know, it warrants them playing, and other guys are still working their way there. So, I don't think you alter processes or you try to trick anybody or yourself into putting someone in the game that should or shouldn't be in there.
Have you pretty much had to, between the end of the season, the Syracuse game, and now, do you have to almost talk to every guy on the team? Because I'm guessing everybody, whether you're 18 years old or 25, want to know where you stand. I guess communication's got to be bigger than ever going through a team and the size of yours.
But you do that every year. You do that at the end of the season, and you do that at the end of the spring. You always want to find out, you know, where everybody is mentally, but you also want to let people know exactly where they stand as well. And at the end of the day, this is supposed to be the ultimate team sport, right? And for that to be a reality and to be effective, you've got to make sure that everybody's on the same page. You know, whether things are going great or things have to get better or maybe things got to go their separate ways. So all in all, you just stick to a process that has stood the test of time.
Mario, I'm amazed at what this transfer portal's become. I'm going to be honest, because I'm the old school, thought the high school recruiting, which, by the way, is still, I know you've talked with me about this, it's still priority one, is recruiting classes and developing your own guys. But, man, this transfer portal thing has become huge. The numbers on some of the colleges and that have already signed a big class. How do you treat it now after you've been through it for the last few years? Any differently, the transfer portal?
Well, you always want to still develop the core of your team from the high school level. You know, we think that the best way to have a group of guys that truly love the place they play at is to have them come in from day one and develop, work hard, and grow really attached to your place. And then as things happen throughout the season, injuries, departures, you want to go and get some transfer portal guys that are driven, motivated, hardworking, good people that can step in and provide maturity and experience at certain positions that need it. So I think that blend, that combination has been really good for us.
So you got to help me here, Coach, because I don't know the rule on this. Hell, I don't know what the college football rules are, and I know you do, and guys talk. Can you talk about the transfer portal and players you're looking at now that they're in that portal? Is that something that you're allowed to do? Because in high school, as you know, if you don't have them signed, you can't talk about them.
Yeah, you can talk about the ones that are signed. You can't talk about the ones you're going after in particular. But, you know, the rules are kind of fuzzy, so we'll probably stay away from that this morning. But
I should ask Cam. That's on me, Coach. I screwed you on that one, man. I literally.
It's all right, man. You're just always working. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, you got to get up really, really early every day and plan on staying up late every night and keep going. And, you know, again, it's a wild, wild west, and I get it. I don't complain about it because it is what it is, but certainly it is it is as unpredictable and as insane as you can imagine.
Yeah, and the rankings. Now you not only get high school rankings on how good players are from all these different folks that do it for a living, but the transfer portal now has rankings as well. Do you expect a lot more guys to jump in the transfer portal here in the next few weeks? Will there be even more quality players coming out?
Well, I think every team does. You got to think everyone's signing between 30 and 40 guys a year. Your roster limits have been 85. Even though they're going to be 105, that's not till later. So you think about it, 30, 30, 30, you're already at 90, and it's not even a four-year cycle. You know, a fourth puts you at 120. So every year I think attrition is on the average of 25 to 35. You're never sure where yours stands. Depends how things go, right, towards the end of the year and conversations had. But everything is geared towards making sure we're doing what's best for the team.
You know, it's amazing because I know guys talk about playing time besides all the money stuff, but playing time in the future. And, I mean, you can't – I know your style is not to guarantee a guy playing time. I know you're big on you got to earn it, man. I can't just tell you, hey, I look at you, I know you're going to be playing a lot. And that – it's all about earn. Do players want to hear that? Coach, I don't know if I could do that. I almost feel like I'd be a little dirty if I really wanted the guy.
Yeah, I think if someone's asking for that, I mean, that's a problem that's going to follow them to another place or to wherever they go in life, right? I mean, guarantees. What do you want guaranteed? You're guaranteed hard work and an opportunity, and that's it. You know, it's a really weird time just because there's access and there's money involved, and I think that the right intentions and good people and people that want to be great, that still works. And then there's, you know, the other side of it that comes with you know, with business. There's a lot of there's a big business aspect to it now, and that part right there truly ends up sometimes going just a really different manner.
Yeah, Coach. This popped up, the most important position, the quarterback position, and Cam, who just had a phenomenal year. You see yourself probably trying to pick up a QB in the transfer portal. You've got some young guys, but are you always looking to – could there be somebody else out there for you?
Well, Joe, as you, I know you've talked to Cam. I mean, as it relates to recruiting, personnel moves, injuries, decisions, all that stuff, we never, ever go public on that, and we'll never do that. We'll discuss what we're doing in public, and we'll put our business out there. We feel great about our roster. We're going to make the moves that are best for the University of Miami and this football team, and then we go from there.
You and I have talked, and thank you for that, by the way. I'm glad you told me that. I tried to sneak one more in on you there, Coach. You grabbed me real quick.
You got a few rabbit punches in you this morning.
I don't think they even touched you. There's not even a mark on you today, Coach. Not my best stuff. Hey, so and you talk about this, and I know you said early in the year certain things you've said, and you talk to your coaching staff about, hey, man, we got some great recruiting classes. We got to develop these guys as quickly as possible. Push them, shove them, get them so we can get some quality snaps from them. Because, as you know, when you get great recruiting classes, the time for them to, I don't know, their patience and these young guys, they want to play. And if they're not, they start looking. How have you done with that? Because you've got some big name guys that we haven't heard about. Keeping those guys, you know, the 4- and 5-star guys happy and knowing that they're in the future.
Yeah, well, happiness to me hopefully relates to guys' development and what the end looks like. So I think what happens is this: guys develop at different stages. And I push our staff, I push myself, we push our roster to develop as fast as humanly possible.
Right.
Because you've got to get players on the field and injuries happen. And you've seen some great situation over the past couple of years between Francis and Reuben Bain and Jordan Lyle and Lofton and O.J. Frederick. I mean, there's some really, really great ones. And then there's some other ones that are about to pop, and their time is coming now, and you want to accelerate that. You want to accelerate that as much as possible, because at the end of the day, you want to get your best players on the field. And if your best players should, you know, God forbid an injury happen, that you can get your next best guy on the field, and that guy may stay on the field forever if he does great. So, yeah, the acceleration of development is always at a premium. It's always a priority, so that'll never stop.
You know what surprised me the most here? I'm going to be honest with you, yapping for a living here in South Florida. Cam Ward so quickly came out and said, I'm playing in that game. Did that surprise you a little bit? That, I mean, it was like instantly he said, I'm going to play in that game, and everybody went, whoa, Cam's playing. Were you surprised?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, we have unfinished business, you know. I mean, you saw, you know, Shedeur Sanders and Colorado do, you know, do the same thing. I think people don't realize, and a lot of players don't realize, but they are starting to, the value of the postseason games as it relates to the amount of scouts that attend, the amount of general managers that attend, to get another crack at evaluating a guy and bumping up an opportunity to get better and increase their own value. So, no, I'm not surprised.
With guys you've got that are going to get drafted, and it's just a matter of where – have you seen a lot more scouts around than in past around here?
Yeah, there have been a ton. There's been a ton this year. They've been at practice the last couple of weeks, and we are confirmed to have them all at the game as well. So, again, it provides a great opportunity for guys to really to showcase, to win the game first and foremost, but to also up their value as it relates to the NFL.
Coach, I wanted to ask you this question because we haven't talked for a while, but with all the podcasts out there and everybody, by the way, and this goes for college and the NFL, people are really on top of like who's playing well more now than ever. What a guy's doing and stuff that's out there. Does it make it any more difficult for you as a coach with all the information? Like, stuff's getting out before you even say it on who's signing, who's leaving, who's staying. Does that make your part of the job any more difficult?
You know, maybe for the wrong kind of guys, right? I mean, if that really is a factor in your process, if that's a factor in your daily life, anything outside, then this really isn't the industry for you. Just being honest, I mean, it is what it is. Freedom of speech is what it is, and it's certainly taken to the max by some people. But yeah. I don't think it affects the real ones. Let's just say that if someone lives for social media, if someone can't put the phone down, if someone has to get on Twitter, then it probably does. And you know, we've got to help that person block out outside noise, or we got to move on to somebody else.
Hey, Coach. Watching the games over the weekend, did you get a chance to watch the SMU game or the Clemson game?
Yeah, I watched a lot of football. I watched football all weekend. I watch it all the time.
Yeah, I'm just curious, what were your thoughts on some of most of the games weren't very close. Clemson was within a touchdown of Texas late, but outside of that, a lot of blowouts. What were your thoughts? You're sitting back just being on the outside.
Oh, I think it's easy to judge from the outside. That's what I think, you know. And I think that weather certainly plays a game. And late in the season, you know, different styles of play are going to reign supreme because of weather. So I think there's a lot of factors. I think there were good football teams in there. And, you know, some teams showed up better than others. But, I mean, that's football, right? I mean, sometimes, you know, a game plan hits the right way and you execute at a high level and things become, you know, there's a wide gap sometimes. But I think it's all good teams, and you know what? It's the process ran its course.
Yeah, it's well, going forward now with because you know, no matter what happens, there's blowouts, and everybody's complaining why certain other teams weren't in there and others, and that's never going to stop. That's going to keep me in business. Something to talk about for a long, long time, Coach. Thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on and getting. So it's pretty much full go. Look for a lot of the starters you saw in the regular season will be lining up against Iowa State.
Appreciate you, Joe. Go
All right. Fans. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. Mario Cristobal joining us here to talk a little bit about the game, and we will see. We will see what it looks like practicing. It's been pretty quiet over there at the University of Miami. Boy, I got to tell you, it's hard, man, when you can't talk about transfer portal stuff. That is, it's just such a big, it's a big part of it, man. And it's just starting. Because there's going to be a whole bunch more players getting ready to jump in this bad boy. Every player knows his value. There is tampering going on everywhere. And guys that, even guys in good programs are going to go, you know, I'm going to try somewhere else. It might be something better else out there. Hey, we've got a lot more to get to here this morning. Got all kinds of news. Panthers back and playing great. All of a sudden, the Heat lose a couple of games without Jimmy Butler for most of that. And we've got Miami Dolphin news as well. And we got a lot of stuff going on. Great week of NFL games as well. And, man, here we go. Last two games of the season. We'll get you caught up on all that as well. So stay with us for all that stuff here on a Monday. First, though, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. This season, Chevy brings classic pairings for you to really enjoy the holiday season. Silverado 1500. Let's just start with the big daddy. The Silverado 1500 gives you power and capability. Boy, if you need something strong, tow around all the toys and the work, everything else, whatever it is you need, Silverado not only makes a Silverado 1500, Silverado makes a lot of great trucks that are absolutely perfect for your lifestyle. If you're starting to look around this holiday season, how about the Equinox EV, the all-new Equinox, America's best compact SUV for new vehicle quality by J.D. Power, offer both confidence and style to see you through the holiday season. Man, I got to tell you, whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, your South Florida Chevy dealers have never looked better, man. From the big, beautiful Suburban to the brand-new 2025 Tahoe, which I just bought here just a week ago, and I'm like a little kid, man. Nothing like having all that room. And if you're at a point in your life you want to sit, my daughter, who's 6 feet tall, said the same thing. We were driving together. She goes, man, it's nice to have this space, Dad. I go, that's what you get with your South Florida Chevy dealers in the Tahoe. Find your red tag. Get 0% APR financing for 36 months on select popular Chevy models when you finance with GM Financial. Chevrolet, this holiday season, together, let's drive.
All right, let's get you some weather. It's brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. It is colder out there today, Joe. It's in like the high 50s, 59 at the moment. It does not look like any rain. This is...
It didn't feel 50 when I was out there this morning in my shorts.
High 50s,
huh?
59. It's going to get hotter, obviously, as we
warm up. But... yeah, we'll be fine, Woody.
Day. It was nice out yesterday.
Great day. Great few days, actually. It's the weather's been really, really nice, except for people get sick and... guess that little flu bug's going around here a little bit. That little head cold, or in my case, huge head cold over the last few days. But, hey, man, we got a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff in sports going on. I'll tell you one thing. The two football games on Saturday, just kind of the Mahomes and Lamar Jackson factor. I end up watching damn near the whole thing and watch very little college football. Including the freak show, one of the greatest looking freshmen I can ever remember, this Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State. Woody, I don't know if you had a chance to see him. He's 6'3", he's 215 pounds,
him, Joe.
And he just friggin' runs by people, jumps over people. Just incredible. Ohio State, of course, won big. But
hey, what do you think about this college football playoff thing? So I'm watching, you know, obviously they had the game on Friday night. Indiana gets beat up. They didn't look like they, you know, belonged. And then Kirk Herbstreit essentially says, like, throw out the records. We need to go with the best teams. And it's like, well, how do you determine the best teams?
Herbie playing the results of
everything?
Yeah,
I mean, obviously he's saying, like, we need the SEC teams that are on the outside, you know, trying to get in. Like, here's the thing, man.
Yeah.
Do you use the eye test of a committee, or do you go by the record? And Indiana certainly, like, I mean, they didn't pick the conference teams they were playing, right?
They're a Big Ten team.
Yeah, they're a Big Ten team. They lost one game.
They're going to get...
that's kind of how this thing works. Like, the record should be everything. It should not be, let's look at this team. Are they going to be a good-for-TV matchup? Are they a better team, like, on paper? It doesn't work that way.
So when this is over and you get your butt kicked, SMU just got hammered. I mean, they
did. But you know what? Tennessee took the biggest ass whooping out of anyone.
Yes.
They're in the SEC last I checked. So.
Everybody was talking about all those great matchups, and they just got manhandled. Correct.
So. It was a terrible 2 days of football, by the way. Between Friday night and Saturday, the NFL games were tremendous. But the college games were just, I mean, they were terrible, Joe. I know they're all excited about the atmospheres on campus and everything.
Yeah.
But you can't go back, you know, afterwards and just say that team shouldn't have been there.
So the one problem we have is after a certain amount of schools, there's going to be a drop off, and I think there's some more ass whoopings going to be happening in these playoffs. But Woody, all I know is when you got Mahomes and Lamar, I just kind of step back, and you're going, you know what? When you see guys. And I know that team sports, NFL's had success because they really sell team. But within the teams, when you've got Patrick Mahomes, who takes off early in the game and runs a couple of times with that bad ankle. I mean, no, not only did he run, he ran into the end zone, right? Broke a tackle, runs into the end zone, you know, getting knocked a little bit, but he was going in. I mean, this guy, and then you watch Lamar Jackson, who's having... stat-wise, if it wasn't for wins, and we're just going stats, Lamar's going to win another MVP. Now, he's probably going to win a couple more games. I think they're going to win that division, but maybe they won't. They're tied with...
So you think he will win the MVP?
No, I don't. But
I think guy in Buffalo is going to win it.
But I got to tell you, his numbers...
I don't know. Josh Allen's been playing with a broken hand, apparently.
Yeah, no. I get it. He won, and what he's doing with his group
but
is,
you're right,
is
though.
Amazing.
These teams, the good teams, are starting to separate from the rest of the pack now for good, and you can see the bottom feeder teams are starting to fight for that last, you know, that for that first pick, right? And
well, they feel that. They got coaches they're looking at. They're probably going to get fired. It's just bad. You got interim coaches, and guys are going interim. You know what that means? That guy got about 2% chance of keeping his job. So I just think you start looking at this, and so all the good teams are starting to pull away. Whether it's a close game or not, they're winning these games. But
Detroit continues to crush everyone, right? Hey, did you see what they did yesterday? what Detroit did?
No.
They had this play. They were up by like four touchdowns. They have this play where Jared Goff goes back and pretends that he's falling down. And then the running back, Gibbs, also like he pretended like he was diving on the ground for the ball. And they go over the top to their tight end. It was wide open because the guys were coming in looking like they were trying to get the...
Oh, my God.
I mean, the Lions try to humiliate teams.
Yes.
Like, they'll be... I mean, they were up big when that happened. And it's like, what are you guys doing?
He truly... he is sending a message of, we really don't care what anybody think. He is...
No, he goes for the jugular, man. Like, he's
and,
a... Yeah.
And he just says, hey, we're going to play with these guys we have. He almost said... Last week, like, even though we got a bunch of guys injured, I'm glad. Because I want the next guys to step up to show that we're going to play the same way. And we're going to be more aggressive. And you're like, wow. Anyway, they come back, and everybody had them for dead in the pregame shows because they're going, well, they got nobody on defense. Everybody's going to come back. So what happens? Detroit wins and Philadelphia loses. That's what happens. Crazy stuff, man. And oh, by the way, that rookie had one hell of a game again. Good God. Just a lot of good stories. Jaden Daniels, 5 touchdowns. Ran for 81 yards. How about that? How about and did a lot of it in the fourth quarter. Just a big fourth quarter to come back and beat Philadelphia, who had a couple quarterbacks get knocked out of the game. Anyway, we've got all that stuff.
Did you see that, by the way? He tried to go back in?
No.
Jalen Hurts tried to go back in.
He did?
Yeah, so he's on the sideline. He puts his helmet back. It looks like he's going back in. And they had to, like, drag him back off of the field.
Yeah, once they well, he had a concussion, right? He get the
apparently. I don't know.
So, guy, hey, no, hell no.
He tried to do the Josh Allen.
We ruled you out, and we are not dealing with the NFL.
He literally is on the sideline, puts his helmet back on, and it looked like he was going to, you know, run right back in, and they go, hey, buddy, you're going to need to come with us. I mean, yeah, it was...
Yeah,
a strange deal, man.
Wow, I did not know that one. But yeah, we had that, and then the Heat. By the way, what the hell? They scored 76 points in the first half.
Hey, Jimmy's tummy, bro.
They're on fire. I'm not even talking about Jimmy. Jimmy didn't even make the trip.
He plays 7 minutes and he leaves with a stomach ache.
He played seven. Then
what are we doing?
Then he didn't go on the trip because I figured he wasn't going to go up there and he's going to stay home and get healthy. So anyway, they go up there, and they're lights out in the first half, 76 points. And then in the fourth quarter, they get outscored 37-8. I've never seen – I don't know if I've ever seen an 8-point quarter by a Heat team. I'm guessing it's probably happened. I mean, they went ice cold. Orlando's got half their team out, by the way. They're missing a zillion guys too. And but I got to tell you, man, It reminds me, you need Jimmy, whether it's a flu, injury, back-to-back, or tennis matches, you need him.
I've never seen that, by the way, where a guy plays 7 minutes, he leaves with a stomach ache.
Well, he sprained his ankle, too, or something. Everybody thought he was going out for a sprained ankle.
I saw stomach. I don't...
I...
Yeah, but they gave up another big lead.
And by the way, the rumors of all the teams they've gotten going to and more people jumping in, and he'd be perfect here and perfect there. This is a crazy one.
I got to tell you, though, we went out, right after they fly back from Orlando, I guess, right after they give up a 30-point lead and lose that game, and Spo had his 5K yesterday.
Yeah.
So my wife, my son, I like to run 5Ks. Everyone's out there in great spirits, man. I give those guys a lot of credit for showing up at 6:30 or 7 in the morning, whenever that was, and they were all out there. Everyone was in good spirits.
Those guys, man, when it comes to charity stuff,
they turn it on, man. I was impressed. That loss must have really stung. But
I think we talk on behalf of all the teams, and look, I know we get on them when they don't play well and they make a lot of money and all that stuff, but those guys are pretty damn good about jumping on stuff during the holidays and Thanksgiving and Christmas to make it a little bit better. I think a lot of guys remember where they come from.
Yeah, those guys were all class. It was a Nicholas Children's Hospital put it on, and all the coaches were there, like the entire coaching staff.
Well, listen,
was out there.
You're not surprised by that. I mean, that was
No, calm down. I mean, I'm not.
Calm
but
down. Yeah,
I don't know what time they got back.
It doesn't matter
from that trip, but
if the head coach is getting up, or Pat Riley's doing something, your ass is going.
Yep.
You're going out that door, even if it's like, I got to go. This is for my boss. Let's go do it. But anyway, hey, listen, good stuff. Hey, by the way, man, we lost a good one, and kind of grew up with him out in the Bay Area. Ricky Henderson, one of the greatest leadoff hitters of all time, and just an exciting dude to watch play. 3,000 hits, played forever. And the stolen base king, which nobody really cares. Like, getting base hits and stolen bases is no longer a big deal in baseball. Hell, we got power hitters leading off now. We got guys that don't steal any bases. But there was a time in baseball where 200 hits, hitting 300, stealing bases meant something. And when it did, this guy was the absolute best, man. He really was. Hit for some power, too. Had some numbers. He was fun to watch, man. He was fun to watch. And that guy, it just seemed like every game, like, how many bases is he going to steal? Because he was going. Everybody knew he was going. The pitcher, the catcher, the managers of both. He was all. He didn't even hide it. And just a high percentage of success. Just incredible. And, yeah, just 65 years old. That kind of hit me hard, that 65 thing. Would that was damn. So anyway, boy, I'll tell you what, he was fun to watch, and out with the Oakland A's for a lot of his career. Hey, we got to go to break here. We got 7 o'clock hour coming up, and a lot of stuff, lot of stuff. I got to be honest, man, it's really hard to talk about the University of Miami with all this stuff going on, and you can't answer a lot of the stuff. It's frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating for them, because I know it's frustrating for me. It really is. And so anyway, I just want everybody to know that. You can read between the lines all you want on that, but it's very frustrating. Tell you what's not frustrating, and it's great, is Atlantic Men's Clinic. ED and low T, man, if you're going through it, I'll say it every day. I just want everybody to know that if you're going through low T right now, and guys know, you know what? I haven't met a guy yet that goes, I'm really tired. And I look and go, well, you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, that's when it hits. By the way, a lot of guys get it real bad in their early 40s, and it's okay. It's nothing to be ashamed of, because it happens to everybody. No matter how much you work out, no matter what you do, sooner or later, everybody gets hit with low T, and usually with that, half the men in their 50s get ED. Can you imagine? Half the men are dealing with that. Sex drive is gone. Nothing's working. Some nights a little better than others, and some nights not at all. And when your energy level is shot and you're tired all the time with that, you're moody, you feel like you're about half depressed. If you're going through any of this stuff and have been for a while, and you find yourself a little snappy and moody and can't figure out what's going on, you're going, you know, my life's not that bad. Why in hell am I like this? It's normal, man. It's not, you know, it's part of getting older for a guy. Low T and ED. And if you're going through it, Atlantic Men's Clinic would sure like to help you get rid of it quickly, because that's what they do. 9 months ago, yours truly went in there, man. It was the best thing I ever did, because I got great results. Love it. Schedule a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic today. You get all your testing done, the T, the PSA tests. You meet with their professionals. They go over everything. You get your results quickly. Put you on a plan, and you are off and running with great results. They have 6 locations in South Florida to serve you. Matter of fact, they've got more on the way. Call them today, 877-455-7300. If you're a woman right now and you're listening to this spot and you want to do something really special for a guy you care about who you know is going through low T and ED, 877-455-7300. Set him up. Get him to Atlantic Men's Clinic. Go to AtlanticMen'sClinic.com and learn more. It'll make a big change. Get that energy and that sex drive back, and I mean quickly.